Hey, Michael?
Mary called from over by the stairs. Go away, I said.
Letter or something for you?
Weird. Nobody ever wrote to me. Who from?
Don't know, don't care.
I went to the bedroom side of my attic to find the envelope on the floor next to the stairwell. Mary had gone back downstairs. I picked the letter up and sat down in the metal folding chair at my desk. The letter was addressed to me in wobbly handwriting, with no return address. I opened the envelope and found some slightly yellowed sheets of lined notebook paper with a spiral fringe still on them. Who would be mailing me old paper? The clean, white envelope looked much newer. The pages had been folded in thirds, and I carefully flattened them out.
Saturday, May 29, 2004. 365 days left. Dear Michael, if you were reading this, then I'm very sorry, but I didn't make it home. I will die. Was killed here in the war in Afghanistan.
I put the letter down in my lap for a moment.
What was this? A letter from my dad?
I skipped to the end to see it signed, Love, Dad. But this couldn't be from my father, could it? He had been killed in 2005. Who would have kept this letter for so many years? The Iowa City postmark offered no clue. I didn't know anyone from Iowa City, but a ton of people here in Riverside worked there. I checked the envelope to see if the person who mailed the letter had also sent a note. Nothing. Maybe this was some prank.
As I write this, I miss you very much, and I've only been away for 4 months. I miss playing games with you in the backyard, teaching you how to kick and pass with that little Hawkeye football. You had a pretty good spiral pass going before I left. We watched Iowa play in the Outback Bowl, and you wore that toy football helmet you got for Christmas through the whole game. That was a great day.
I remembered that day. Mom and Dad had made popcorn, and we had salami and cheese on a platter, like a sort of picnic in the living room. That old helmet was in one of the boxes up here somewhere. It had been a great day. Only our family had been there that night. Nobody else would know about it. This letter really was from Dad.
This is the first day of what is supposed to be a one-year boots-on-the-ground mission in Afghanistan. If you have this letter now, then the day count doesn't matter much, since I guess I'll never see the end of this tour. Right now, though, I have to live as though I'm going to make it home, and that day count helps keep me going.
Wait. This didn't make sense. I flipped back to the first page of the letter. It was dated May 29, 2004, but I knew for certain that Dad died August 28, 2005. That was the date on his tombstone, which I'd visited often enough. How could Dad die in the war 3 months after his tour in Afghanistan was over?
If you have this letter, that means I've been gone, dead, for 7 or 8 years. I'm sorry I wasn't able to be more of a dad to you. I know I've missed a lot of great moments, all the Christmases and birthdays. More than that, I haven't been able to tell you much about me or about life. A father is supposed to provide his son with some guidance. I didn't have that advice growing up, so I intend to write you a couple of letters to make sure you have some help from your old man. My plan is for you to be given my letters in order, one at a time, early in your sophomore year of high school, so that you'll have read them all by your 16th birthday. Little Mikey doesn't know much about what I do in the Army National Guard, so now that you're grown up, Michael, I thought I'd tell you a little about it. I'm a combat engineer, which is like a soldier in the infantry. We are trained in battle tactics with the M16, as well as various machine guns and other weapons systems. Combat engineers are also trained to work with landmines, TNT, and C4 plastic explosives. I'm a Sergeant E5 and a team leader in 3rd Squad. Each squad has 9 soldiers, and one of those is the squad leader, an E6 staff sergeant. There are 2 teams in each squad. I'm the A team, or Alpha team leader, in charge of 3 guys. By now, you've already met one of those men, my friend Specialist Marcelo Ortiz, who has promised to deliver these letters to you.
Marcelo Ortiz? Who is that? He sure hadn't delivered the letter. The stamp and postmark proved it came through the mail, and Mary would have mentioned some guy showing up to drop off the envelope. What was going on here? Maybe the letter would explain.
Before I was in the National Guard, though, I grew up in a small town in western Missouri, less than an hour south of Kansas City. My parents were both teachers. Dad was a history teacher, and Mom taught English. When I was in eighth grade, they were killed in a car accident while driving home on icy roads. I was sent to live with your grandmother in Riverside, and I was pretty miserable that summer and through my freshman year of high school.
Dad hadn't been born here. How had I never known that? I'd always assumed that, like me, he had been born at the hospital up in Iowa City and then spent his whole life here in Riverside.
For me, everything changed at 16. I got my first car, my grandma's old 1980 Chrysler LeBaron wagon, white, a little rusty, and butt ugly. But with it, I could go places on my own, without my grandma looking over my shoulder. I also started hanging out with Taylor Ramsey and Todd Nelson, two of the best friends a guy could ask for. Wow, did we used to have fun. One night, after we won a football game, I think against Kelowna, I actually drove the wagon down the railroad tracks all the way out to the party at Nature Spot. Your mom scooted close to me on the bench seat, and when we went over the runaway bridge, she was freaking out scared. But I acted like it was just a normal drive. Taylor and Todd laughed the whole way as we bumped down the tracks. Then I backed the wagon up by the fire and put the hatch up and back. We all sat there, listening to the music and talking and laughing. I'd give almost anything to live those days over again.
I couldn't believe my parents dated back in high school. The idea probably shouldn't have been a surprise, since they both graduated from here. I guess I just never pictured my parents young. I'd only known them as Mom and Dad. But Dad was gone, and Mom never talked about life before she was Mom. And they'd partied at Nature Spot? It seemed impossible. All the best parties were supposed to be out there, just off the railroad tracks outside of town. People never just showed up to Nature Spot. You had to be invited. You had to be popular.
A couple of the guys I served with just asked what I was writing about. I told them, and they immediately laughed at me. If you ever end up serving in the Army, remember to never share anything personal with your fellow soldiers. In the Army, there's no such thing as a personal secret, and everything is fair game to be made fun of. The guys said I was being stupid and that high school is pointless and meaningless, but I know I'm right. Your freshman year is like a trial run, a chance to check out high school and what it's all about. But your sophomore year is the time to start to experience it all. I felt like I came alive at 16, and those really were the glory days. Adults say that the problems high school kids face are no big deal, or that they're just a phase. But those adults only say that because they've already made it. They have already worked through their issues, one way or another. You haven't yet. Your problems are real, and you don't know how it will all work out. You must think of real solutions, and your decisions will affect the years to come. I want to remind you about the importance of school, about one day going to college. I didn't have enough money to go, so I enlisted in the National Guard, partly because it offered great tuition assistance, and I thought I might become a history teacher and football coach like my dad. One thing he did have time to pass along to me was his love of history. I especially loved reading about old sea explorers and naval battles on sailing ships. I loved visiting historical sites. That's why we took that vacation down to Hannibal, Missouri, to the boyhood home of Mark Twain and the Mark Twain Cave. I remember watching your little eyes light up when we entered the cave and when we went on the riverboat cruise.
The cave! I sometimes thought about that trip, but couldn't remember where we had been or why. We'd walked through these really boring, old-fashioned buildings where Mom and Dad kept saying, "Don't touch." That must have been a museum or something. Maybe where Mark Twain was born. But the cave had been amazing, like a whole other world. And on the riverboat, Dad and I had acted like pirates.
I had hoped that I could make history come alive for my own students in the classroom, but I never quite found the time and money to make that happen. That's why I've made sure that you and Mary both have college money set aside. Whatever else happens, I want my children to get college educations so you can get good jobs where you work with your brains and not with your backs. Trust me, I've worked at a meatpacking plant and then as a construction laborer for this guy, Ed Hughes, since I graduated from high school. That kind of work can drain the soul. I guess what I'm saying is that I hope you can find a balance between high school fun and success with school. You are a good kid, really a man now. Just be yourself and go for something great. Don't let your fear of failing prevent you from doing good things. I don't know how involved you are with sports and other activities at school, but if you aren't, I want you to challenge yourself by getting out there. Maybe there's a club or a sport you've been wanting to participate in, but you've held yourself back so far. Well, I'm giving you a mission, just like the ones we have in the Army. Go for it. Whatever it is you've been wanting to do, give it your best. I know you can do it. I did a lot of growing up without a father, and I would have liked to know if he approved of the choices I made. Ortiz is my very best friend over here, and if you have questions, you want some advice, or you want to know how I would have felt about something, feel free to ask him. He'll help you out.
How could I ask Ortiz for help if I'd never met him? Who was this guy? I made it my goal to find out.
I want you to know that I'm willing to do this, to fight these terrorist scumbags, if it means that you and Mary and everybody else back home can grow up without war and with the freedom to live your lives and chase your dreams. As long as you get the chance to live your glory days and start a good life for yourself, then all this will be worth it. I wanted to be there for you. I tried. I swear to God, nothing was more important to me than getting back home to you and your mom and sister. I know you'll be good to them. Help take care of them. I'll never get to know the man you're becoming, but I hope you'll take the time with my letters to get to know me. They're calling me to formation. I have to stop for now. I miss you, buddy. Love, Dad.